B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thursday here on Zolak and Bertrand. We'll get back to your calls next segment. Right now we go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in a Patriots Hall of Famer. Matt Light is with us. Hey, Matt, what's up?
Well, hello there, sir. You were skeptical. I heard you doubting whether or not I was going to call. But I
didn't show up an hour ago when you were scheduled. Yes, I'm skeptical.
Hey, Zoe, can I come on to talk about something and then I won't call in? What'd you kill today in the woods?
Right.
That's all I want to know. What'd you kill today?
Nothing. You know, we had a great day. We did a lot of walking. I did see a barred owl. He came over. I hooted at him, and he landed in a tree right above me. That was pretty cool. I saw a garter snake. I heard turkeys gobbling. But, you know, they're smarter than me today, man. They win.
So you're looking for the turkeys then. It's turkey season, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not owl season or garter snake season.
They're all over. They're all over the freaking yards here in Rentham. Why don't you shoot them in my yard?
Well, 500 feet from a dwelling, and so that makes it a little difficult for all of us in the woods. Yeah, yeah, they are everywhere, though, just not where I am.
Matt, are you bow hunting turkey? That's what Zoe said earlier.
Yeah, okay. You know, typically, yes.
Tell them the story how you blow the head off, you split that turkey's head off. That woman was screaming.
That never happened. What are you talking about? No, listen, I'm going to tell you right now. In a pandemic like we're in right now, the ability to go out into the woods and harvest wild animals that are free range, they don't eat any of the, you know, it's non-GMO at its finest. There's no gluten, right? Or maybe there is. I don't even know what I'm talking about at this point. But it's a great way to feed your family.
Do you have a problem with ticks once you get out of the woods? Because we've had some tick issues on this show.
My wife and I, we do a lot of preening. You know, looking. You know, it's like, you know, digging and you know, pick one off and throw it in a trash can. Yeah, they are nasty though. You do have to be very careful. Do a tick check if you're out there walking in the woods. Which, by the way, the other problem with this pandemic, the reason we have to get people back to work, is that there are way too many people in my hunting areas.
Yeah.
Walking their dogs, having fun, messing around, making noise with kids, the whole nine. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, you don't bring any kids in the woods. They'll get shot.
No, kids are safe, man. Look, my kids have had a great season hunting with me. They learn a lot. They enjoy it. It's a way to get out of the house and do something and, you know, been a little chilly this spring, which the weather's been a little odd, but we're hanging in there.
Hey, Matt, the other day we had Richard Seymour on after he found out he was going into the Patriots Hall of Fame. You're already in that Hall of Fame, but what do you make of Richard Seymour getting that call?
Man, I'm going to tell you, the Big C and I go way back. We played each other in the Outback Bowl, and then, of course, obviously coming in the same draft class. And I remember standing... the Kraft family had an office in downtown Boston. And I remember that's the first time I saw him, not on a football field. And I remember thinking, like, holy smokes, he and I are going to be battling every day. That's a large mammal. And what he brought to practices, the way he elevated everybody around him, you know, he had an edge. He was nasty. I loved that about him. You know, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. The Patriots Hall of Fame, I think he probably has a good shot at getting into the NFL Hall of Fame. And his career speaks for itself, man. I mean, he's the guy that everybody had to account for. If you're playing against Richard Seymour, you're going to know where he's at every time he's on the field.
Yeah, he didn't get a lot of credit because of the numbers, right? And I remember Bill talking about that, you know, in a post game. Like, some question was asked him, well, Richard didn't have a sack or tackle because you watched the damn game. You literally would have to double-team him, correct? If you're an offensive lineman, how would you block him if Scar was telling you?
Yeah, look, it's a great point to make. I mean, everybody wants to talk about numbers. Numbers are safe. Numbers mean something. Numbers are a way to put a license plate on somebody. He's either good or he's not. But there's so many people. Richard Seymour is one of them. Numbers mean nothing when you talk about a player like Richard Seymour. And I would say the same thing, even though it's a little bit different, with a guy like Dwight Freeney. Dwight Freeney's numbers are actually pretty darn good. Everybody knows that he made a lot of big plays. Richard Seymour's numbers don't tell the same story, but he was just as effective because, to your point, though, we had to put at least two people on him every time he was on the field. And so you got to account for these guys. And, look, if it's not him making the play, it's somebody else, and probably because he did the work of two people.
All right, Johnny. Good, Beetle.
I was going to say we're talking with Matt Light. And, Matt, I know you've got this incredible – raffle that is going on. Share the details with us. Tell us everything that's going on with it.
Well, listen, you know, Breeze and Brady are going to be playing each other twice a year. They're opening the season, but then in November on the 8th, the Saints are going to head down there to Tampa. They're going to take on the Bucks, and we put together a package through the Light Foundation. The money raised is going to benefit our work, the programming we do. And this package is absolutely awesome, man. It's an opportunity for little money. You spend as little as 10 bucks, you get 10 chances. And if you don't win, don't worry. It'll go a long way in helping our work through the Light Foundation, our Leadership Academy. But if you do win, you're going down to Tampa, all expense paid trip. Mike Allstott's hooking you up with the finest hotel in the Tampa area. He's a Buccaneer legend still in the area. He's got his pregame tailgate. We're going to eat at his restaurant, Island Way Bar and Grill. We're going to go to the game. We got pregame passes. And then the best part, after the game, we're going to go down, and the winners are going to get to meet Tommy and Drew Brees, two best quarterbacks on earth. And also, we're going to throw a Gronk in there as well. So it's an awesome package. If you're a fan of football, you know, this is one you want to go down. And November 8th isn't a bad time to be in Tampa either.
You shocked Tom's in Tampa.
Have I shot Tom's?
Yeah, in Tampa.
Are you shocked that Tom is in Tampa?
Oh, my God. I thought we were talking about Tom Turkeys here. I'm like, are you asking me if I hunted in Tampa?
I knew that this is where it was going. I was just laying out. I'm like, they'll figure it out. They'll get there. They'll land it.
No, I got it. I'm on it. I'm sorry. I'm switching gears here. You know, I'm not. I am shocked he's in Tampa, actually. Yeah, I didn't see that as the landing spot. But, you know, when he makes a decision, it's not like, you know, he just was like, oh, well, yeah, you know, Tampa. I mean, there's something more that we don't know about. There's something that he likes when he looks at that roster. And I love the fact that we now have many, many reasons to tune in to this season coming up. I think it's going to be the most interesting time in the history of the league. And I don't know everything that's happened over the years, the different nuances, but when you talk about football and you have an opportunity to watch what the genius Bill Belichick does when he's faced with a lot of adversity, a lot of change, I mean, this is going to be the time to watch. And then, of course, seeing what Tommy can do in Tampa with Gronk and company, it's going to be a hell of a year.
So, Matt, this is an awesome prize. And by the way, lighthouseraffle.org is where you go to get the details and to get your tickets to enter the raffle. This is an awesome prize to go to Tampa, Breeze and Brady and the Buccaneers and the Saints. And then I saw that the second winner will also, there'll be a second winner that gets suite tickets for the Patriots home opener. So what does it say about where the Patriots are at right now that the grand prize is a trip to Tampa to go see two other teams, which is should be the grand prize. I'm going to enter the raffle, but the runner up prize is, you get to go to a Patriots game.
Yep. Way to go, Patriots.
What does that say about the Patriots in 2020?
Times have changed, man. Times have changed. We have raised so much money because of the work that those guys have done in that organization, right? Like, when I played, we raised a ton of money. In retirement, we raised a ton of money. But it's interesting, right? I mean,
yes, very much so.
I didn't look at it from that perspective, but yes, the second place prize is to go to the season opener with suite tickets. So,
suite tickets, let alone not just in the stadium, suite tickets.
Nobody gets suite tickets. Hey man, you got You got your drinks paid for. Everything is good. But, yeah, Game Day Tampa, by the way, GameDayTampa.com or LighthouseRaffle.org. Both of them will get you there. And it's going to be fun. I love calling these people when they win.
All right, Matt. Hey, don't be a stranger. Hey, call us on
time. We appreciate
next time.
It. Thanks, buddy.
Well, always good to talk to you guys. Have an awesome weekend, man, and look forward to chatting down the road.
All right. See you, Matt.
Matt Light with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
The great thing about
if you
his
don't
raffles,
win this incredible grand prize,
yeah,
which is awesome.
Here's the booby prize.
And the runner-up, oh, you'll get some Patriots home opener tickets.
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay. any raffle he's done, you can go back to the Super Bowl once when we've had him on when we were doing the Super Bowl raffles. It's $10 to get in. You get 10 chances, $10. Some of these raffles, one of these big money raffles like this for the big prizes, it's like a $500 entry on some to get in. So it lets everybody the chance and gives everybody the chance to win.
Oh, man. His raffles are also always really good. He's always got great prizes. So
what's third place? Patriots season tickets?
And the money that this goes to for the Light Foundation and the things that he's involved with are all awesome causes. So check that out as it supports GameDayTampa.com. You can get right to the raffle that way, too. All right. We'll be back. 617-779-0985. We'll get right into your phone calls as we continue on. And by the way, in case you missed it, comments from Joe Buck about pumping in fake crowd noise onto broadcasts. If sports make it back without their fans, that's on the way, too.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The phone number. Let's grab a couple of your calls before we hear from Joe Buck and what he had to say to Andy Cohen yesterday. John's in Milton. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Can you hear me okay?
Hear you great.
Awesome. Hey, listen, I'm actually born and raised here. I'm 47 from Milton, Mass. I haven't called sports radio since the days of Eddie Antleman, but listening to these baseball guys, I just want to throw my phone. I'm done with baseball. These guys can go fly a kite. They have the ability to become America's pastime and to reinvent themselves, and they just refuse to acknowledge reality. You get 28-year-old athletes worried about the coronavirus when they get the best medical attention in the world. Give me a bleeping break with this. I hope baseball folds so they can go freaking F themselves. I am so done with these guys.
Yeah, and I think your reaction is one that a lot of people are going to have.
It's kind of where it's heading. You know, a lot of people are doing these polls out there. You see, which sport do you miss the most? And obviously, football's not on everybody's mind. But right now, a lot of people miss hockey the most, then the NBA, then baseball's like way down at the bottom. That's pretty standard. Yeah, I mean, they have a chance to really, you know, reset here, do some things differently that can help the game, and they just even kick it back years. They're greedy. Players are greedy. Their owners are greedy.
Paul's in Smithfield, Rhode Island. Hey, Paul.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. I appreciate it.
What's up, Paul?
I'm in a church. How you doing? Hey, Gazelle, how you doing, buddy? Long Good time, buddy. No speak. Hey, listen, just to try to give a heads up to the fans. I'm sure the players and their attorneys are aware of this, but, you know, from what I could read in the different CBAs, my understanding is, especially with the one at the NFL, a lot of the fees, and you know, you guys did talk about this in the past, are based on the gate, not just the. I understand this television contracts and all that stuff, but a lot of it is they use the phrase in the CBA local accountants, and I think they account for those areas where the different games are played for the gate that's taken in. At that time, which are part of the revenues that go to pay these players. And so the players have to understand and the fans have to understand that, you know, the reason for reducing some of these salaries in part is because, maybe not a large part, but in part is because they're not getting the gate anymore. And I would think that'd be simple logic.
But the CBA is written out that way, and that's part of their contract. I mean, that shouldn't be a problem.
No, it shouldn't be, but I'm also not going to pretend to understand what all the legalese and what the local accounting measures account, and you know what that stipulates and what that means. I think it's really going to come down to a common sense decision for these players and
a human decision.
I'm not expecting anyone to take the side of the owners on this. I mean, we rarely do, and you know we tend to err on the side of, you know, the players on situations like this. But I mean, honestly, it's coming down to whether you want to play for some money or not want to play at all.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't based on any type of, you know, I really don't believe this. And Beetle, maybe you disagree with me. I don't think there's going to be any longstanding precedent that's set as a result of this. It's drastic circumstances, and they're going to require drastic measures. And do you want to make something for playing some games, or are you willing to stand by your principles, whether it's Blake Snell or anyone else saying, nope, I got to get paid, I got to get mine. And if that's the hill you're willing to die on, then the season dies with it, and so does any hope of making any money for anyone involved with these teams, whether it's the owner, the players, all the people who work in and around the team. Forget it. Season's done, and we go from half salaries and furloughs to no salaries and layoffs. And that's what it's going to come down to. Which do you want? Do you want to, you know, stick to your guns on this, or do you want to accept the reality of the situation?
Yeah, I don't think baseball has anything to be worried about in terms of their baseball players, that is, in terms of the precedent being able to stick from a legal standpoint. But I would not be surprised if they try and use that against them down the road. Not even a little bit. If they accept it and then baseball 2 years from now is trying to say, hey, you accepted it then, why don't you accept it now? So I understand that, but I think that legally they'll be able to protect themselves to just say no. Right? No.
Yeah.
No, our answer is no. So it might complicate the argument. It might just make things, you know, they'll be banging their heads against each other. But still, I don't think there's going to be some sort of legal precedent set for there to be a salary cap down the road. I think that's the case.
Even a negotiating precedent. And quite frankly, you know, there's a chance that baseball and all these other leagues, if they are hurt to the extent that other businesses are being hurt this season, when it comes time to negotiate the next CBA, whether it's in a year or two or three, they may not be crying wolf. They may actually be still be suffering from the effects of this, and it's not going to be a bunch of nonsense and the greedy owners are just trying to get over on the players. No, I mean, part of the reason why the things grow and why, you know, they do as well as they do, and whether it's the NFL or any sport, is because of the success of the league and the teams and the deals that they create. And if these businesses are hurt to an extent where the ramifications are being felt years later, it may not be from any kind of a nefarious negotiating standpoint, Beetle. They might be honestly like, look.
Except they're already in talks about the next CBA and had been before all this started. So the CBA expires next year.
Right.
And I think that's on the minds of the players. I don't blame them for having that thought on their minds.
I'm sure it is. Because, but again, that's accepting the reality of the situation. Things are going to be affected, you know, for years because of this.
Yeah.
And to what extent, who knows? But it will probably be made easier on everyone if you come to some kind of an agreement and get back to work this season, as opposed to just tanking
from both sides.
In the towel.
Or again, both sides.
From both sides.
You kill the sports. You kill the sports.
If they had stronger leadership in their players' association, if they had someone, I mentioned Donald Fehr earlier, as someone who's now running hockey's and used to be with the Major League Baseball players, obviously most famously in 94 when the baseball season came to an abrupt end. I don't think you'd have him sitting there saying, well, we want our money and we're not setting any precedents. You're going to have a plan. And they could be on the attack right now saying, yes, we want to agree to that and we want to be able to do whatever we can do to get back out there. Now it's the owner's turn to show us what it is that they actually make. Have them open their books. Yes, absolutely. Owners, we agree with you. 50-50 split sounds great. Open up your financials. Let's see what you actually have coming in. Because it's been really murky for years in baseball. What are the actual numbers? So that's fine. No, we'll agree to it, but now you're going to show us everything. And then owners would balk at that, and then it'd be back on them. So they just had, the players have already lost in the court of public opinion, and I don't know what their plan is. What's their plan? To sit there and just say no? Is that their plan? What's their plan? Yeah. No. Yeah,
in their world, yes.
No, I got to get mine.
Got to get mine, bro. No, I'm saying
trademark Blake Snell.
He didn't even handle it tactfully. Like, it's one thing to say, you know, we feel like we, you know, you should respect, you know, us and the contract we signed. That's all. Like, I got to get my money, bro. You know what I'm saying? I got to get it.
That's
you signed
the plan.
A contract.
Hey, great plan, guys.
You signed me the contract. Awesome. You told me you're paying me this. You pay me it. What are you going to get? Are you going to break their legs? What are you going to send two guys to collect?
Yeah, no, it's dangerous. I need to get mine. Wait, what? That's not a good plan. You better have a better plan than that.
Just
baseball.
The way he said it. Just the way he said it.
Tony Clark better come up with something better than that. Please have an idea,
man,
here, fellas.
No, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, that would be just the labor part. No, I only want to play for full pay. I will choose to not play at all versus, you know, playing for half pay. Fine, stay home. That's fine. If you're principled to that degree and you want to put up that fight by yourself, go for it. If it's about health concerns, great. You know, you want to take a pass on it, no problem. But then when you start saying, if you pay my full salary, I will have no health concerns. Well, wait a minute. Is it about health concerns or not? What is it about? 617-779-0985. Joe Buck talked with Blake Snell, but he talked with Andy Cohen. And he told Andy Cohen that there's something in the works in terms of fake crowd noise. You will hear that coming back right after headlines. Don't go anywhere.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think it's about riding the crowd and figuring out when the crowd is at its loudest, when the crowd is at its most excited or most pissed off or whatever it might be. And then you have to respect that and you have to shut up. So going into this season coming up, and that comes with a huge asterisk, and hopefully there is a season, there's probably going to be a season in doing games with no fans, which will be difficult. I think Fox and these networks have to put crowd noise under us to make it as
do you
normal
think they'll do that?
Viewing experience at home.
You think they'll do that?
I do. Yeah, I think they'll do it. I know. In fact, I know they'll do it, and they are to the
that's,
point
that's
now
the conversation right now.
That's it's pretty much a done deal. I think whoever's going to be at that control is going to have to be really good at their job and be realistic with how a crowd would react depending on what just happened on the field. So it's really important. And then on top of that, they're going to put they're looking at ways to put virtual fans in the stands. So when you see a wide shot, it looks like the stadium's jam packed, and in fact, it'll be empty.
That's wild.
One, yeah. All right, Joe Buck with Andy Cohen yesterday, and I will say this in defense of Joe Buck. The part about knowing that it's a done deal, that part, that is on the crowd noise. When you listen to the full sort of context of the conversation, and then he adds on the part about putting fans in the stands. So, Hardy, he's like maybe half right on his ridiculous tweets earlier, fighting back against it.
Yeah, but did you hear him catch himself? You really want to dissect this?
Singling
to him,
I'm trying.
Listen to him catch himself.
Hardy.
Because he starts to say they're going to put, I think they're going to put virtual fans in the stands. So he stopped and corrected himself on that one. But on the crowd noise, nope. He said,
nope.
I know
dead.
They'll do it.
He's dead on the crowd noise.
Dead on the crowd noise.
I'm trying to figure out how he could possibly send out the number of tweets he sent out this morning, completely denying the story, denying that he said things, and trying to claim that it was irresponsible of SI to publish his quotes. I mean, wow. But maybe this is how, in his mind, he does it.
I don't know. What's his problem?
I referred specifically to the crowd noise when I said I know it's going to happen.
Right. Like, so his whole rant started this morning when he quoted Sports Illustrated.
Yes.
When their headline, which has since been deleted, Joe Buck says Fox Sports will add crowd noise and virtual fans during NFL broadcast this season. So he quoted that and said, amazing, the headline didn't match what I said. Didn't think that happened at places like SI. All right, you know what, you little prick? Why don't you just respond and say, actually, SI, what I said was, I think they're working on it or something like that. But yes, you know, crazy times we live in. You know, what is it with the immediate attack on Sports Illustrated or anyone else, especially when you did say pretty much what the headline said? You want to take issue with a word in there? You said they'll do it.
I just read his first six.
And you did say before you stopped yourself, I think they're going to put virtual fans in the stands.
And then on top of that, they're looking at ways to put virtual fans in the stands.
They're looking.
Yeah,
but I just read his tweets again, and the thing that he is talking about in the tweets is the crowd noise. So he's still wrong. I'm trying to find a way that he could, with a good conscience, try and wiggle his way into writing these tweets today and being pissed off. But he's not talking about the virtual fans in his tweets. He's saying he didn't talk about the crowd noise. I just read them again. He did. He said the crowd noise, he knows it's done, and it's pretty much a done deal. I don't think it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. It's crazy.
That's doubling down. Yeah.
I just read the tweets again. I'm like, oh, maybe he was in his tweet saying he was talking just about virtual fans. Maybe. And I read through them again. No, he's not. He's talking about the crowd noise. What is it? He's nuts. He's lost it. He's lost his mind. He's out of his mind today.
He's bored. And he's smarmy. This is what he is.
Ah, not good. Not good. And it's so cheesy. And to try and deflect and say, see, other networks are considering it too. No, we can absolutely count on Fox to be the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to stupid, cheesy things that they add to their broadcasts.
And
that has been the case from forever, whether it be the dancing football robot or the lit puck. Or what was that little thing in the corner that, like, explained the game to you during the baseball games?
Oh, Professor Diamond or something. I don't know.
Oh, what was like that thing?
Yeah.
What was that? Wasn't there like a little guy? Someone will remember what it was. 617-779-0985.
There used to be Dr. Doubleday showing up to tell us what the shift means. Oh, okay.
Didn't he do Scooter the Curveball?
Was that his name, Scooter?
Scooter. Hi, I'm Scooter. Yeah, it was like Al Leiter, right? Oh.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Is that who it was?
Yeah, I think so. I think they even had the cheesy Scooter curveball thing.
Hi, I'm Scooter.
And just one more thing, Joe. If you're such this bastion of journalistic integrity and ethics, what are you doing having this long chin wag with Andy Cohen? I got no problem with Andy Cohen, but he is a reality TV show guy. I mean, he's all about Real Housewives and Below Deck, which I enjoy, but yeah. it's not like sitting down with the 2020 version of Edward R. Murrow and getting your point across. No, you're going on with a gossip guy who does Real Housewives of Atlanta and Orange County after the show. I mean, this is Andy Cohen you're on with.
That's wild.
Are you such a serious guy all of a sudden? The same guy who is being quoted on his appearance from an Andy Cohen program? And again, I had no problems with Andy Cohen. But don't act like you're above it all and how all these other people should be behaving more professionally and responsibly. Get over yourself.
Scooter was the baseball that explained pitching during the course of the broadcast.
This is Scooter. You know, a sweeping curveball can save my gorgeous face from getting smacked. I scoop from one side of the plate to the other and drop down at the same time. So remember, a sweeping curveball sweeps right over home plate.
That's the last time I watched
Fox.
Like that made me
that
not
is
ever.
Fox right there, folks. That's who they are.
Wanted me to never watch baseball after that.
Bunch of cheese balls.
Cheese balls.
The glowing puck. Yeah, the puck that changes colors depending on the velocity of the shot.
Gave you a headache.
All that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Scooter.
God, now
they gave
you Fox Tracks.
They gave you Scooter. They gave you the dumb dancing robot. I mean, they've given you all the cheese, my friends.
Who are we making this broadcast for? Lowest common denominator. Oh, yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of football fans that shut up. Take the dumbest person in the audience. That's who we're making this show for. All of it? All of it.
All of it.
All of it. That's who we're doing the games for. Take the biggest mouth breather out there. What's he going to like? Dancing robots. Done. Get to work on it.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Adam's in Leominster. What do you got, Adam?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, man?
Not too much. So a couple of things. You were talking about the Vette earlier, and I just wanted to let you know that the 2020 Corvette, it's crazy what they did because they made the 2020 Corvette.
No, we weren't talking about it. A caller brought it up earlier. We were not talking about Corvettes earlier.
But we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Is he talking about a standard or a stick shift?
I don't know. What did they do in the 2020
automatic?
Corvette?
Automatic or standard? Let me know.
Desperate to talk to somebody about cars.
And what the hell would you ever buy a Vette for, too, and buy an automatic? It's ridiculous.
Keith is in Amesbury, trying to stay on topic here. What's up, Keith?
Things are changing, though.
Hey, guys. Just want to touch. I'm not sure if you guys mentioned this about Blake Snell, but he was saying that, you know, on top of all this, I get taxed on it. He lives in Florida, no state income tax.
True.
Right.
That is correct. I mean, he's paying federal taxes still.
God, I know that, but I mean, as opposed to other people in other states, I mean, he has kind of less to bitch about, I would think, right?
Yeah, he definitely has less.
Yeah,
but, I mean, the federal taxes are typically more, aren't they? Depending on where you're living. So, I don't know. I'm not going to get caught up on that. It was a ridiculous comment to begin with. Oh, and then I got to pay taxes. Oh, you do? Oh, you have to pay taxes. Oh, man. Yeah. Hadn't even thought of that. Gee, I've never done that before. You guys ever paid any taxes before?
No, nobody does.
Oh, my God. He's got to pay taxes, too? They're going to cut his salary down to like $2 million, and he's going to have to pay taxes? Yeah, that resonates well. There's more than 36 million people that have filed for unemployment so far. And this crybaby's over here talking about he's got to pay taxes. You should have some sympathy. Man has to pay taxes on his money. Justin in Gloucester. Hi, Justin.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
How
you doing?
How's it going? I just want to mention something about Joe. You know, Joe Buck, you know, lying through his teeth. Maybe he thinks he can get away with that because the president does it every single day. It's kind of the world we're living in today. And I just wanted to mention real quick.
Let's do politics.
I'm not doing the political angle, but the world we are living in today is whenever you don't like something or you don't like what was actually reported about you and is factual, is just claim it was bullcrap and blame the media. And there are so many people that are just so gullible that will jump right on board with that, whether it's Joe Buck or anybody else. Hardy, you already referenced those tweets of the people attacking SI. Ugh, fake news. Actually, no, go watch the video or listen to the clip. Listen to what he actually said. It's not that hard to do. That culture does exist now more than ever. That's not a political statement. That's just the culture of attack the media. It's all fake. And well, just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's fake, Joe. Just because you don't like the fact that someone picked up on what you said, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Whether you want to send 10 tweets or 20 tweets or 100 tweets, we can go back and listen to what you said. And that does aggravate me when people do that. Nope. You said it. Just own it. Or don't say anything at all. And this isn't a story today. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. There is one state that is open, wide open, fellas, and that is Florida. They're looking for everybody to come to Florida. Yep. Why don't we hit on that next?
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is.
It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All these professional sports are going to be welcome in Florida. That may not be the case in every other state in this country, as we've seen. And so what I would tell commissioners of leagues is if you have a team in an area where they just won't let them operate, we'll find a place for you here in the state of Florida because we think it's important and we know that it can be done safely. Now, we're not going to necessarily have fans, but there's been reports that Major League Soccer may want to have their season in Orlando. Do it. We want to have you here. We want to have the basketball practicing again. We would love to have the Major League Baseball. And I think the message is that our people are starved to have some of this back in their lives.
This is how we go.
You know this song, Zoe?
Yeah. It used to be our open.
Was it?
Yeah.
How long did that last?
A day? 3 days? It wasn't long.
I like how you're the one that makes fun of this every time it plays.
Because boom, it kicks right in. That's like that's how we roll.
Do you get what I mean by that, Hardy?
Yeah.
Like, of the group here, you're the one. I don't remember being in the meeting where that got decided anyway, that was going to be the open to the show.
Oh, no, it was just weird.
But
just
I'm sure
that.
You were.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Wait a second. Our former boss,
yes.
As far as I know.
He loves that song. That song was popular.
Yes, he was a big fan, suggested that song, and we used that song for like, first day, two, three, something like that.
It was about a month, but
okay.
Yes.
So let's get it out here on the table. I was certainly not consulted on that song.
I didn't think you were.
Beetle, were you consulted on that song?
Oh, I most definitely was not. No.
Zoe, were you consulted on that song?
Yes.
Thank you. And that's all. I'm not saying Zoe's responsible for it. Don't confuse what I'm saying. Is I just think it's odd that you're the one that complains about it when you would have had the opportunity to push back against it.
I'm not complaining about it. I'm laughing.
You are, though.
I'm laughing.
You're doing your Zoe thing.
It was.
No, you're doing your Zoe thing.
Oh, no.
Rip it without actually ripping it, without actually saying it.
No, because I actually like the song. I like
that's okay. That's okay. Did you think it was a good intro? Did you think it was a good intro for the show?
At the time, I did, yes.
Okay.
It's like, hey, we're changing it. This is how we're rolling with it, you know? But then if you think about
it. So then I would say you're partially responsible for it. So what the hell are you ripping?
I'm ripping me.
And I would like to go on record as saying it's not okay for you to like that song. But that's another subject entirely.
I'd like cheesy country music. Come on, a perfect day for the song. Moonroof. Sunroof open. Yeah.
Anyway, Florida's open. What do you think of Florida right now?
I told you guys this before the show.
Let's go.
I got a buddy. I'll give you his name off the show so you can look him up on Facebook.
Okay.
And he just snapped one day about 3 weeks ago, and he said, I'm driving. I'm going. I don't know where I'm going because obviously he can't go back to work. He's a teacher and a coach. So there's nothing going on. He drove to Florida, and he has gone up and down the panhandle. He's gone down the West Coast. He's went over the East Coast, Orlando.
He's just driving?
He drives, but he films everything. And all he does, and you're going to see, here it is up here, NBC Sports Boston. This is what Florida looks like. They clean. They eat outdoors. Nobody has masks on. And the restaurants are packed. All of them by the water. Like, all the restaurants by the water are packed. He's like, it's like it doesn't exist here. Now, there are some locations that are not open. And I don't know what the exact details are of Florida and what phase they're in or, you know, how many people is here. You're half capacity, 30%, whatever. But it doesn't look like anything up here. Anything
so down in but down in Miami, though, things still seem to be closed.
Yes. Yeah. In Lauderdale Beach, like the entire Lauderdale and South Beach, it's shut down. Yes. You can't get on the beach there. And that's a hot spot. Broward is a hot spot. So a lot of people on top of each other there. But I don't think it's as prevalent Northwest Florida.
It's just like we're open, MLS. You want to come?
Carol Baskins, come on down. You guys can see the Tigers. You don't have to put on masks. They don't have masks.
Now again, that was my favorite part. By the way, that was the governor of Florida, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that wasn't like the president of the Rotary or
no,
just some
the governor.
No, that's the governor of the state.
So he said, you know, I hear Major League Soccer might want to come down here. Come on down. That's about as official as it gets there in the Sunshine
what
is, State.
What are they going to do with things, all those extra you fans?
You throw out an invite in the course of a press conference. Boom. Done. Got ourselves soccer being played down at Disney World.
What's he going to do with all those 43 extra people that came down to see it?
Now, we know about bad sports cities. Like Atlanta, we always point to it like, oh, what a crap sports city that is, right? Atlanta stinks. They don't really care. They're not invested. But the state of Georgia, given that it's got Georgia football, right? Given that there is passion for certain sports there. So you can't just, with a blanket statement, say, Georgia, oh, you guys are the worst. But, like, the on the whole, like, even if you do balance out the passion for football in Florida, whether it's Florida State or the Gators or Miami, like just based on pro sports, though.
Yeah.
I'd put Florida right there with the other bad sports, pro sports states.
Oh, of course. I put them towards the bottom, if not the bottom. Yeah, like, absolutely, 100%. Look at the baseball teams. Awful. Florida. Hockey teams, I mean, the Rays are pretty good. I mean, the Lightning are pretty good.
So there's a case that the Tampa Bay Lightning are the like best
favorite
pro
team.
Franchise
yeah.
in the state. They're a hockey
that,
team in Florida. How does that make any sense?
It should be the Dolphins, but it's not.
It's not. It just isn't.
I mean, the Heat were popular because LeBron went there, right? We really
don't
talk about much about the Heat. They got good coach in Spoelstra. I mean, Spoelstra's proved he's actually a pretty good coach.
But they've got pro teams.
Jacksonville will never bring the people in.
They've got pro teams in four different cities in their state, and it's like it's all a barrel of garbage. That state.
Well, Disney World screws the whole thing up, man. Because
that's like know. That's why we have that reaction when Brady's now playing for the Bucks, Tampa Bay Bucks. Really? That's where he went.
Like that is the cheat, and that's he went to the. He didn't even like go to Miami. Like you could see. Okay, he goes
right.
to Miami. He at least has
it's up
and coming, hip, trendy South Beach, like big money now. Tampa is nothing but pure cheese. It's like if you picked up. No, I'm not going to say. If you pick up West Virginia and put it in Florida anywhere, you're going to put those people in Tampa. Like, hey there now, come on down.
But how much of it really is like is based on the climate and the environment, too? And I know, like, summertime in Florida is not exactly a picnic. But, you know, this was the conversation we always had about San Diego and why San Diego is such a bad sports town. I think the more people have to do outside – away from a TV set,
yeah,
that's got a direct relationship to your sports fandom and how good a sports town is. And, you know, people didn't care about the Chargers. They don't care that much about the Padres and blah, blah. Why is that? Oh, they're a bad sports town. No.
No, because there's too much to do.
They can go outside.
Green Bay.
Green Bay's a great example. You live in San Diego. I mean, in terms of climate, there aren't many better places in the country in terms of a 365-day-a-year climate than San Diego. So if I lived there, I would probably spend half the amount of time I do watching sports that I do now. It's just it's the way it is. And I think in Florida, it's probably a combination of the climate and, I don't know, maybe a bit of an older population that
is transplanted from somewhere else.
Yeah,
that's part of it, too.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Right? There's more Red Sox fans. There's more Red Sox fans in Florida than there are Rays fans or Marlins fans or Red Sox and Yankees. They got two huge fan bases in Florida, you know?
Yep.
So, but how about MLS, though? What if MLS does go there? That'd probably be a big boost to the local economy, right, Artie?
Oh, they'd love the grass down there, too, kicking it on that grass, that putting green grass. Oh,
I think they would do fine. And
how hot is the merch going to be down there?
I'm in favor of any sport getting back in just about any way. And if the MLS has an opportunity to go play down at Disney World, fine. Let somebody do it. You know, we don't necessarily think it's going to happen. And MLS players, I don't think, are going to think any differently about that than basketball or hockey players or baseball players who didn't want to leave their families behind and go off and do their job away from home for a period of months. I don't see why that's, you know, it's going to be any different than the guys on the Revolution than it is for the guys on the Celtics. I mean,
would Sarge have to move there?
That's a good question.
It's the right question.
Yes.
I think for my purposes, Clyde Sims and I can still do our pre-half and post-game from Boston. Following Trenny's plan from yesterday, we can do that via monitor. We'll be okay doing it that way.
Good.
But Sarge, as a PA guy, he might be headed south.
He would fit in down there, though. He would fit in Florida.
Let's get to headlines, and then why don't we get to quarantine scenes today?
Oh, my God. What do we have today? Anything
What's
good?
Our movie today, T-Bone? Give us a little taste here before headlines. No commercials. What do you got?
Want me to just tell you?
No. Yeah, let's hear it.
Gary, give us a hint. Can you give us a hint?
Basketball movie.
Basketball movie.
Oh, that, I do know what it is. I forgot, but now I know what it is. Yeah.
Okay. White man can't jump.
It's a basketball movie. It's quarantine scenes. We do it every day now. It's become an everyday thing. We'll get to it right after headlines. Don't go anywhere. 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.